This podcast contains adult language.
DigitalDarren.com. Today is January 8th, 2014. The regular, he's almost becoming the co-host of the show, Calhoun in the building.
Hey, I'm loving every minute of it. Not quite. I'm amongst everybody else, but you know we back in the building one more time.
Yeah, this the first podcast of the new year that we recorded during the new year. So this is NFL divisional round, picks and kicks. We're going to do something a little different for the fans and the listeners out there. We're going to talk about the Picks and Kicks Get a Lewinsky Award because it should be real quick this week. The rest of the podcast is going to be pretty much all Atlanta-based. Listeners who are Atlanta fans or just keep an eye to Atlanta, you know yesterday, especially with the Falcons, was a real busy, loud day for the city. So we're going to definitely touch on that later on in the show. But like I said, initially we're going to go on this talk about the NFL, talk about the wild card, talk about the divisional round, and hit on some of the things real quick. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go with the Lewinsky and the USUC Award. Let's start with the Lewinsky.
I got to give it to old Carolina for doing what we knew they could do, but go ahead and take care of business and whooping up on the Cardinals. I think they stayed intact. Cam stayed healthy. I think they did pretty good. I got to give them their props, even though they division rivals. I give them their props on how they handled business.
I give my Lewinsky Award to Baltimore. In a wild card round that was full of fluke wins and just Carolina, and we're going to get to this in the USUC Award, but Carolina beating up on an Arizona team who doesn't have a quarterback. Cincinnati might as well not have a quarterback the way Andy Dalton plays. The controversy in Dallas, that game was either a toss-up anyway. I thought Baltimore delivered the only surefire kick their ass to win. They really dogged Pittsburgh that whole game. I think the final score wound up being 30-15 or 30-20. But that, if you look, I looked at all the game. That was a game that Pittsburgh really wasn't in any of the game. And it's amazing because Antonio Brown was playing an Antonio Brown type game. So,
well, they didn't have Le'Veon Bell. He wasn't really getting that thing moving. I didn't pick them because they beat up on my Pittsburgh Steelers. So, piss on them and they come up as this week. But that's another point. But you made a good out of all of them. That was a definite, for sure. Hey, we'll kick your ass, and they literally did that.
I think they raised eyebrows in the AFC because they've proven they can go to the Patriots and beat the Patriots. And we can say more of this for later, but they can make it to the Super Bowl. Let's put it like this: I think every team left in the AFC can go to the Super Bowl except for Andrew Luck. I think they're fatally flawed.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so let's go on to hit the USUC Award.
I'm gonna give it a two. And the first one I'm gonna give it to is the Cincinnati Bengals. That Marvin Lewis, Andy Dalton, that tandem now, that's going nowhere. And they're gonna have to do something with that. And the lock in with Andy Dalton for that long, well, my God, that was a stupid decision. And my second USUC is going to the referees of that Dallas game that totally screwed over Detroit. They deserved it. I got to give it to them.
I'm going to give my USUC to two different entities as well. First, I'm going to agree with you 100%. The Marvin Lewis and the Dalton marriage is a match made in hell. I don't know who you get rid of. I think that, and we're going to get to the Falcons, but this ties to the Falcons in this way. You can't get rid of one without the other. Because if you get rid of one without the other, you're not getting rid of either. You're really not even addressing the problem.
Exactly.
So, you say Andy Dalton, but he's a $100 million quarterback. Go check out our quarterback steakhouse comparison where we really thought he should be, where we compare quarterbacks to steakhouses in Atlanta. But anyway, going back to what you were saying, you said Andy Dalton. How can you get rid of him?
I mean, they're not going to because they signed that contract, but he sucks. He sucks all the way around. Andy Dalton is a horrible quarterback. That he's the problem. It's not so much Marvin Lewis. The whole team is set up to win except for Andy Dalton. It's just like when Rex Ryan's with the Jets. The whole team was set up. You had the defense, you got the running game, and in that case, they even got receivers and tight ends. But they don't have a quarterback. It's all on the quarterback because he messes the game up. See, they went in spite of Andy Dalton. And you can't have a $100 million guy like that.
I agree. I think they went in spite of him, but again, we talked about this with the Jay Cutlers, and you made this point. You will not win the Super Bowl with a $100 million quarterback. It's just football has too many positions, too many needs that it has to address to give one person 30, sometimes 40% of a salary cap for a year.
But you know what? If there was one team that could, it's Cincinnati because of however it's structured or whoever they have on rookie deals or whatever it is. They have the tools now to win. The problem is that $100 million. It's not because he's getting $100 million. It's because he sucks. He's a third.
So it's not the $100 million. It's who's getting the $100 million that handcuffs
them. And that's the only case it's like that. Because everywhere else, you have to implode the team, which is what you're going to see later on with Seattle. You're going to have to start making some real cutbacks because they're going to have to sign Russell Wilson to a big deal, to a $100 million contract. So in those cases, when you have to implode the team, you can never win with a $100 million quarterback. But when you got all these rookies, see, they are the product of drafting well, which we'll never know nothing about with Thomas Dimitroff. They're the product of that. So they are the exception to the rule. You know how every rule has an exception? They're the exception to the rule. But the problem is, the man that you gave that money to, where they go, they go your issue.
Let me ask you this. Could you replace Andrew Dalton with Jay Cutler and be okay?
Hell no.
What other $100 million quarterback, besides the ones we all know and love, could you replace Andy Dalton with and be okay?
Matt Ryan, Tony Romo.
What about Stafford?
Stafford has a tendency to turn the ball over. The Stafford that played this year, yeah, because this is probably his least turnover season. But he has a tendency to turn the ball. You don't need no big tie guy. You need somebody who's going to make the right moves and going to play with a run game. And you see what Tony Romo look like with a run game, and we know what Matt Ryan look like with a run game. You can put them two in there, and it'll be totally different. It'll be Super Bowl bound, if you ask me.
Yeah. All right, my other use of award goes to Ryan Lindley. And I can't give it to the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals went into that game, and we both have played football. You played off. I played both sides of the ball. There's a certain feeling on defense when you know the offense can't score. It's like sparring against Floyd Mayweather. So, yeah, you take his punches, but you're not supposed to punch him back, right? You know what I'm saying? So, you kind of go in with that shit attitude. And the minute something goes wrong, which, of course, with Ryan Lindley, is going to go wrong. I mean, you know, it's just... So, I want to get a use up to Ryan Lindley specifically. And I just want to ask you, is he the worst quarterback in NFL history that you can remember?
History?
That off top of your dome, in your memory, in your lifetime that you can remember, is he the worst quarterback?
He's pretty bad. I don't know about worst. He's up there. He's really, really bad.
Throw out a name who's worse than him.
Ryan Leaf, maybe. To me, when Joe Harrington was out here, he was straight trash. We've also had Chris Redmond. I never was a fan of your Trent Dilfer's. I don't think he's – I'm not saying he's Ryan Lindley, but he's garbage.
You saw the game. They really – Lindley gave them no hope. It was like despair. I've never seen a team with no hope in the playoffs, and they were a team playing with no hope.
And you can see it in that case, they just had a bad hand. They was dealt a very bad hand. And again, I don't know what's the infatuation with the NFL and quarterbacks, but – that's another quarterback who they signed to a major deal. And if it was a 10-year deal, then it would have been another one of these $100 million quarterbacks because they gave Carson Palmer, they gave him like over $50 million for like 3 years or something like that.
But when you see the difference between him and Lindley, they got a deal.
But Carson Palmer doesn't stay healthy, and he's old. So he wasn't healthy the other year. He's a temporary fix.
So let's flip it like this. And I didn't want to stay this long on this, but if he was healthy, could they go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Could they win the Super Bowl?
I don't know. But he has.
Depends on matchup, right? But they definitely have a fighting. They have a puncher's chance to win the Super Bowl.
They definitely beat Carolina. And they go in there and kick up Rutgers and Seattle. They may not have been.
They would have probably been the number one seed So, and they were good. They were undefeated at home until the last game.
Exactly. They would have went to the
Super Bowl. So, in that case, $50 million is worth it, right?
Touche, my friend.
That was good. You sucking Lewinsky award. Let's go on and hit the games. First game, Baltimore at New England. Oh, and they starting with the heavy hitter game first.
Yeah, they hitting your bed with this, and that's an old NBC, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get this party started. I'm going to New England.
I'm going Baltimore. Everybody's so enamored with New England and how they played towards the end of the year. Wish they did a really good job. I'm not taking anything from them. I think...
Arguably, one of the hottest teams going into the playoffs.
They are, but that week off, I'm one of those people who think that week off hurts them and helps Baltimore. So that's why I got it. And Baltimore has went up there and beat them before, so I don't think it's an intimidation factor with them.
I got New England now. That Baltimore is not a bad pick, and I'll tell you why. New England has a lot of holes.
The Saturday 8:15 game is Carolina at Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah, this Cam shit acting like Superman stops. Saturday at 8:15. Seattle going to get in their grid.
They come through the streets and all.
The first game is 105. I'm surprised they started with this game. But anyway, it's Dallas versus Green Bay.
Because they probably think about Peyton Manning being a greater. I don't know.
Well, Peyton Manning, just Denver's on the way. I guess their time is what?
All they've been doing is, you know what they do. They've been hyping up Peyton Manning and the Colts this whole time. So you know how that goes.
All right, so let's hit Dallas and Green Bay real quick.
I'm going Green Bay.
The only reason I go Green Bay is the weather, and they're at home. And I think that this is where losing some of those regular season games that you shouldn't lose or should step up and win hurts them. Because if the game is flipped and Green Bay goes to Dallas, Dallas wins that to me.
I don't know, because Detroit gave them a real game. And if it wasn't for them, that call, a couple of bad calls actually, Detroit would have came away with that in Dallas.
But Detroit could have beat Green Bay and Green Bay the week before, right? So,
we both Green Bay unanimous.
Both Green Bay unanimous. The last game, again, is Peyton Manning versus his old team. Andrew Luck versus Peyton Manning. It's Sunday 4:40, the Colts versus the Broncos.
Andrew Luck get that L. Peyton wins.
I couldn't have said it even better. Peyton Manning wins. All right, so this is going to...
Spicy matchup at the end.
I think it's spicy for the wrong. I told you, I don't think the Colts are that good. When they played New England, I told you they had to win that game to really make me think they're a legitimate team. Now, I will say this. All the pressure is on Peyton Manning. Whenever they do stuff like this, all the pressure in the world is on Peyton Manning.
And one thing about pressure and Peyton Manning, it goes together like oil and water.
So, if nothing else, that's what the Colts have working on for them. The pressure that's on Peyton Manning, excuse me. All right, so that's it for the picks and kicks. Let's go on and flip to Atlanta. Now, for those of you who just came to hear the picks and kicks, stick around because the Atlanta talk is going to be fun. But if you're not a Falcons Hawks fan, then you might want to tune out.
Stick around because we're going to show you exactly what you don't want your franchise to do. Now, let me segue into this a little bit. Mr. Digital Bear, and I tell you what, you called me yesterday with some alarming news. And the first part of that news was something about PSLs. Well, what was it about PSL you was telling us? You sent the text out about.
Well, the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, with fabulous paper here in Atlanta, they reported that the Atlanta Falcons were doing PSLs. They're already controversial, personal seat licenses. For starting at $10,000 to
$45,000. Now, pause right there. I don't think you gave that enough emphasis. These jerk-offs, with their 6-10 team and a 4-12 last year, are selling season tickets for what price again?
$10,000 to $45,000.
That's how many dicks Arthur Blank can eat. Trying to sell somebody that garbage on the field. For that kind of price. Now, elaborate a little bit, if you will.
So, from my understanding, the personal season ticket license isn't really a season ticket, or the personal seat license isn't really a season ticket. It's the access to a season ticket. So, that's my understanding. Listeners, email us at digitaldaron.com. Comment on the YouTube, comment on the post if it's something different. But from my understanding, PSLs aren't really the actual season tickets. They're just, hey, Darren has rights to seats 1 through 10 on row 1 to get his season tickets first.
I think it's going to include
a season. Now, yeah, it may be 2-1, but you still have a time to kind of shore those up, and you can swap out people. So it almost becomes like a, hey, we're going to hold this spot for you. You get exactly. And while we're holding this spot for you, get a ticket, but you don't have to be the one to be there. So.
Exactly. That's what they want to do. It's season tickets, but it's so you can mark your territory, so to speak, because, you know, like now, people who've had tickets for Falcon games for 10, 15 years and had the same seats, that's the whole purpose of this PSL, so you can get your seats. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing about it. But here's the part about all this that's crazy. $45,000 for a season ticket. That's craziness for this type of franchise. Now, what I mean by that is, this isn't Green Bay. This isn't the Cowboys.
This isn't one of the pillars of the NFL, the Patriots.
Even Kansas City, who has a spectacular, or Pittsburgh. This is Atlanta Falcons. The team that if you're not winning, they will not come. Period. So, I'm baffled that you would even set tickets at this price. And here's another little thing, a little side note here. If you have tickets for $45,000, what are your other tickets going to cost? Because let's just be honest, most people are not checking for that price. Even actors and whatever, rappers not getting no $45,000 season tickets. That Young Thug can afford a $45,000 season ticket.
I mean, if you get $45,000, I would think it would be up in the club seats, right? It would be a box, right?
It's premier box. It's supposed to be right behind the Atlanta Bitch House set up. It's premier spot. It's not $45,000 premier, but it's a premier spot. But I mean,
football isn't even the sport that you really... Realistically, football isn't even that sport, right? If you're going to spend... Because think about right now. When we went to the Michael Vick game a couple of years ago, or even this year, I went to like 4 or 5 games. Most of the people who are down there are working class people. This isn't like basketball sitting on the front row. So.
You're exactly right. And then on top of that, guess what you're going to be doing most of the time when you're sitting there anyway? You're going to be watching the TV screen.
Yeah. That's how those games are set up. Like, because unless you're even at the 50-yard line, yeah, I think the game is played another 30 yards away from you. So you're going to be looking left, looking right, or whatever. It's not like basketball where the court is small enough where your peripheral covers the whole court.
Exactly.
So, I don't know.
$45,000, I'll go ahead and catch that ticket on at the house and get the perfect angle. That's what I'm going to do. And
you made a statement yesterday. You said, how could somebody who was so smart make some business decisions so dumb?
Now, see, that's coming up to the next point that we have here. That's a great segue. And I made that statement according to this new one that you had texting me. What is this idiot doing now? And when I say idiot, I'm saying Arthur Blank. What is this fool doing with his GM?
He's basically relieved Thomas Dimitroff of all what we think of GM duties, drafts, free agents. So player personnel decisions, essentially.
He fired Thomas Dimitroff.
No, he didn't. Thomas Dimitroff is now in charge of video equipment. He's in charge of the training room.
The water cooler, making sure they got the proper Gatorade.
Yeah, he in charge of like game day, making sure they have entertainment and shit like that. So all the other stuff that you don't think of when you think of a GM. Because whenever most, at least when I think of a GM, I'm thinking of the players he's putting out on the field. I'm not giving a damn if he chooses the black or the red jerseys for the game or if they got the kiss cam going. You know, he's in charge of all that. The GM's in charge of all of that.
He went from GM to team manager with GM money?
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate goal in life should be to be overpaid. And I guess he's achieved the ultimate goal in life, right?
Well, I'll tell you something. Digital Darren. This perplexes me. Now, here you have a guy. It goes back to my point of saying idiot. Now, people can say however smart they think he is. He has to have some smarts. it baffles me that there's a guy who made billions of dollars selling hammers and nails and is dumb enough to have four people doing the job of one. That's baffling to me. That he has no... Wait a minute. So he can't fire nobody with the feathers? Well, how many people has he fired with Home Depot? He's a complete idiot. And that goes to my point of, you can see as an idiot can have some of anything. That's why I believe we underachieve. There's an idiot who runs a football team who knows absolutely nothing about football team. We had a cokehead for a president. And it goes to this point. You could be a rocket scientist and know absolutely nothing about a car, and a mechanic who dropped out of sixth grade can screw you over. Easily. Hey, what's wrong with my car? It's running hot. So what is that? Gotta be the alternator. How much is one of those? $2,000. Really? Or just put it on a tab. No, it's not. And it has nothing to do with what's going on. But you don't know what you're doing. So you just say the word to someone who you think is a professional. And that's where Arthur Blank is going. He's taking the word of someone he thinks is professional. These are not professional. These are idiots. Now I go a step further. Scott Pioli now is the person in charge of scouting talent, drafting, all that stuff.
Right? He's in charge of the player personnel.
Player personnel. But here's the kicker. Even though he's in charge of it, guess who has the last word of it? The guy who you're relieving the responsibility. Hey, you're not good at this. Don't worry. You look after the jerseys. Hey, you look after the scouts. But the guy over the jersey is going to have a final say so.
I think that's academic. I think Thomas Dimitrov is here. I think that's just academic. He's going to yes everything they say.
Either way, you don't put him. You don't let. Listen, even if that's the case, you don't say otherwise. So you don't say, we're going to demote Thomas Dimitrov from one word from looking at the personnel. Why? Because he sucks at looking at the personnel. But then on the flip side of that, say, but he gets the last word as far as the personnel is concerned. So regardless of if, well, we know Thomas Dimitrov is just going to play ball. Regardless of that, you don't say nothing that's stupid. You understand? And then they said something like, here's the kicker. Scott Pioli still reports to Thomas Dimitrov. Thomas Dimitrov reports to Arthur Blank. And guess who else will? The coach, whoever they hire, is also going to report to Arthur Blank.
Stop right there. I was reading an article where they were saying that a powerful coach will not come here because of Thomas Dimitrov. Like all your John Grudens, your Bill Cowers, any coach who has...
Even your Mike Shanahan.
Even your Mike Shanahan's. Why would they come here and report to Thomas Dimitrov? Like, those coaches have earned the right to quote Bill Parcells, go to the store, buy the groceries, and cook the meal.
But to go a step further, that's one reason why they don't even interview Mike Shanahan. Now, as we pointed out, listen, you in this, what we have now, you have to interview, you have to turn over every stone because we have a team that has some critiquing, but we're not in demolish and rebuild mode. So we need someone who has the skill and the tools to do so, and that pool is limited. Now, with Mike Shanahan, you at least bring him in for an interview, right? Don't you do that, Darren?
I would think so. I would think Arthur Blank would bring in every coach. I would spare no expense, at least to wine and dine them. You would have to tell me no. So it was like he's.
You know why they're not? Because the guy who's supposed to have been fired with the last coach is in charge of hiring this coach. And he's not going to hire somebody who's going to fire him. See, none of this is making sense. All of this leads to, hey, somebody's going to get fucked up the ass. And it's going to be the fan who's going to buy a 45,000 PSL ticket. So don't sell them garbage tickets when you're making these kind of stupid moves. It goes back to our point. You had said yesterday, firing Mike Smith was the right thing to do. Probably was wrong timing, right? You want to expound on that? You said it so eloquently.
I forgot exactly how I said it and really even what I said. But it goes to the same point. Maybe you can help me out. When you're firing one without the other, you're not firing neither one of them, essentially. So...
that's exactly what you're doing. But you had said this. The reason why is because the coaching pool this year is so small, in which it is. There's not a whole bunch of talent. So it's really only three people to me that's even in the running. And you were likening it to my personal situation. I was in love with a young lady. I was, still is. And it's liking like...
Hey, I'm going to join you in that pool, too. I'm still in love with a young lady, too. So you're not the only one in the world in that situation. So go ahead.
You're know, it's a lot of us. Listen, we here at Digital Dan, we keep it all the way real. You understand? And so we'll tell you the truth. Still in love with a beautiful young lady that meant the world to me. So we're liking it to the Falcons here. So her and I are not together.
But same with the girl I love. So go ahead.
Exactly. But where is the pool out here? What's out here really? I tell you what's out here. Bitches and hoes. Nothing but offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators. Nothing but a whole bunch of McDaniels and all these other guys who didn't make it or was no good. Or like, not the guy with Peyton Manning, the OC from Denver.
Adam Gage or Gase.
I forgot how to say his name.
How ever go to anybody who's offensive coordinator over a Peyton Manning team? Because he's not doing anything. That's all Peyton Manning. Now, if you're talking about getting an offensive coordinator with Peyton Manning team, you must be bringing in Peyton Manning. Otherwise, don't bring in one of these guys who just dealt with the sheet over his head and going, hey, run this, and it's going to get Omaha at the line. So, don't bring that guy. So, right now, just like the dating pool, the coaches pool is very short. And we have to make key decisions.
Well, I wanted to, because I talked to Double R about this. Shout out to frequent podcast guest Double R. Everybody, when you throw out the names, minus Rex Ryan, most of the other names everybody's throwing out are offensive-minded coaches. I would think that the Falcons would want a defensive-minded coach.
Well, I think it wouldn't. Here's the problem with all that.
Like, if you're not getting a head coach, and like to your point, there aren't too many head coaches in this pool.
Right now, I want a great coach, and here's why. You just had a defensive coach. Mike Smith has a defensive background. Mike Smith, for all that, he came from that. Even he was one of the coaches. He wasn't a defensive coach. He was one of the coaches on that Baltimore team, that 2000 Baltimore team that won the Super Bowl. The problem, again, goes back to the GM. Doesn't matter what the coach is, if they're giving you trash for your product. Your product is trash. It doesn't matter what you do. Case in point. At some point, talent has to take over. Right? Unless you have, like, you can see, like, with Bruce Arians. As great as a coach that he is, doesn't matter when you have Lindley throwing the ball. So it doesn't matter if it's a defensive coach come in, i.e. Rex Ryan, if you have Corey Beerman as your premier rusher, and you have Bartu as your starting linebacker. None of that matters. You see what I'm saying? They just reeled off the free agents that the Falcons have to sign or re-sign or whatever. And they didn't reel off not one stud. People like Peters and Lowry. So I'm like, they're going to have to make some tough decisions. No, they're not. They need to get rid of all of them.
Nah, that's what, okay, stop right there. That's what I was going to say. I would think that a lot of times you want to keep your free agents, but not in this case. In this case, you want to explore young, dynamic people who, I don't know, I would just like to go young, maybe get one or two, not over the hill, not no OC type people, maybe one or two people who are coming into their own who teams still don't know where they are at with the person right now, but I definitely don't think that we should be keeping our own free agents, because our free agents suck.
All the way, anybody on that defense is pure trash, name himself a true front, and ain't even no aim. It's just for true fun. Everybody else can really go. And so, here again, is the problem. The guy who's heading up, it's amazing to me. I believe they got to be a gay couple. The guy who's heading up the search for the coach is the same guy who's speaking this nonsense. And now it's to the point where, Arthur Blank, you see this guy's incompetent. So much so that you've taken away 95% of his responsibility. But you do not fire the guy. But what is the purpose of the guy being in the building?
Think he has a,
what's that for me?
I think he has a fetish for general managers.
The more the merrier.
I mean, just like some people have a fetish, we'll go to porn. Some people have porn fetish for a big girl. Some people have a foot porn fetish. Some people have cum shot or spanking porn fetish. Some people have a midget porn fetish or a tall girl porn fetish. Whatever your fetish is, that's your fetish. His fetish seems to be general managers. At the more the merrier.
Gotta be. And it's unbelievable to me that this guy's still here. Thomas Dimitar, he scares away most of the coaches, any candidate, I would think. I wouldn't want to do that. And then here's another thing. So now you got to report to three or four or five different people? because you got to talk to Scott Piola about what you want and what you need in the team. He asks to Thomas Dimitrov, so you're going to have the relationship with him. Rich McKay's still in the building. Like he's Elvis. Arthur Blank is looming around, and there's still Bill Delaney somewhere. So, and then on top of all that, here come a coach. How in the world do you get something done like that? It's too many Indians. It's too many Chiefs, not enough Indians.
So let me ask you this, and we're going to wrap up the Falcons talk with this. Who would you want to be the coach out of the pool of candidates that they're talking about? Who would you want to be the coach and why?
And it's cold-blooded. I'm going to tell you why. Good Lord. I heard something about the defensive coordinator for Seattle. Maybe him, and I know I just said I don't want any coordinator. Some may say a contradiction. Here's one reason why. Mike Shanahan, even though he has a couple of Super Bowls, he got one of the greatest quarterbacks. And that came complement of a great running back in Terrell Davis and an all-around great Denver team. But he came in messy, and he left messy. He went to Washington, and oh my God, they blew that right up. Not just with the RG3 fiasco, but let's not forget the Donovan McNabb fiasco. Remember that? Stuff they were doing. Donovan McNabb took the high road. RG3, believe it or not, took the high road. Them Shanahan play like some little girls. They get real nasty.
They messy.
They real messy. They some midgets. They real messy. I don't like. And here's the thing. With him, it's always going to be eventually. So eventually it's going to come around. And maybe not when he first start. Maybe not when they get going. But at some point, think about it. Daniel Snyder just paid this man $7 million to not coach. That speaks volumes. Anytime you get replaced with Jay Gruden, that's a problem. Now let's fast forward to the fat guy who turned slim, who's now budging. Rex Ryan. That circus. That fiasco. He's a mouth shooter. And the only time shooting off is good is on the internet or when you're on the old Digital Darren podcast. Nobody needs a mouth shooter in the locker room. I would like for my coach to be business, firm.
You want him to be the adult in the situation?
Yeah, I don't want him to be this radical. When you look at the Jets, who gave you the most time?
Rex Ryan.
Why? You got a 53-man roster, you got coordinators up and down, and your coach is the one causing the most ruckus. Hey, bring them cameras over here. I got something for you right now. You know Spygate? No, you need to focus on what's going on. He was still talking shit last year. Them folks were losing like hell. Rex Ryan still talking. We're going to beat the Patriots. And no, you didn't. So,
I think Arthur Blank is like a girl in high school. You want the guy, the school star. He talks the loudest, brags the most. He could be dumb as a doorknob. He could be a sped. But he has the biggest show, right? So it's inevitable that we're going to get Rex Ryan.
You think so?
Arthur Blank is too big of a groupie. He's too big of a name to pass by. She's like a gold digger with a pocket full of, and she walked by and see somebody pull up in a Ferrari with a receipt that had $200,000 in the bank account. He dropped his ATM receipt and she see it. She gotta have him. That's Arthur Blank with Rich Ryan. He has to have him.
You know, he spent 5 hours on the interview.
And that's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know.
So I'm gonna call it here and we're gonna finish this podcast.
I'll tell you what else though. The other guy who's not getting any mentions is Gary Kubiak.
He shouldn't get any mentions. He damn sure not going to get none on DigitalDare.com. Motherfucker never went to the playoffs if he did one time in 8 years. He don't deserve shit. Keep Mike Smith for that shit.
So I need to go on back to then. Keep hugging. Everything else out here is pure shit. I learned that firsthand, though. That's another subject.
Hey. If you keep Gary Kubiak, you might as well get engagement rings and go propose to the women we talking about right now.
Hey, I'm already on Jared's website right now thinking about a comeback. I hope she had a show.
Alright, so let's sum it up like this. I got Rex Ryan as the coach. I'm predicting that early. Who do you have as the coach for the Falcons?
I'm going to be Rex Ryan.
All
right. But now, all that I just said, which is true and I stand by, he's an upgrade from Mike Smith. Mike Smith literally was, you've never really seen the guy When the last time you seen the coach that clueless on the sideline? At least the other one's faking. His whole face looked like, I don't know what's going on.
See, I didn't want to keep dragging Mike Smith because I think that
drag him, man. He was horrible through and through, man.
And that's the problem with how you look. Where he's a smiley, nice guy. Nice guys do finish last. Mike Smith had the balls to do certain things. The problem is he didn't have the balls a lot. So it's just like, and we gonna stick with the relationship with the dating and the girls relationship. Just like a guy who's scared to talk to girls all his life. And he just says, fuck it, one day he's just gonna start hollering at girls. And the first two girls he hollered at shoots him down. And immediately he goes right back into his shell, like, well, fuck it, I just ain't hollering at no girls. That's Mike Smith. He's made some bold moves, but they didn't work out. So then he's stuck in the middle of nowhere, no man's land, like, what the fuck do I do? And he doesn't have the experience to be stuck in no man's land, what the fuck I do? All it took is for one of those plays to go right, and he will have more confidence in himself to do it well. I think he's lost confidence in himself as a coach. I really think that's his only problem right now.
And one of the things that would have gave him some confidence, being honest with you, is the same thing that hit him for the first 3 or 4 years, and that's a roster. Thomas Dimitrov steadily depleted that roster. It's almost like they set him up. And so you're going to see, hey, this guy can't coach worth anything when you see butt naked. Like, you need a coaching decision to try to pull off a game. This guy's going to drop the ball. But if you add studs at defense to where when you throw that screen and they stop that screen and you got to punt the ball, the defense make the stop, and you just near the clock now. So it doesn't look like you made a dumb decision. Even though it was a dumb decision, you live with it. See what I mean?
Yeah, so I said this in college with Lynn himself. Sometimes coaches need players, and I don't know if this counts in the NFL as much, but sometimes coaches need players to help them grow, a la Jameis Winston and Jimbo. This is why Mark Richt hasn't, one of the reasons why Mark Richt hasn't crossed that threshold. He hasn't got the player that's excitable enough to make him grow beyond himself.
He always turns them down.
Exactly. So Jameis Winston was so enigmatic and charismatic. He made Jimbo grow outside of what Jimbo was before Jameis Winston.
Right.
And so, I think that, and I don't know in the pros if it's a certain player that does it, but I think it's situations that do it in the pros more so than players. And then in situations that Mike Smith tried to do that, it didn't work, and he just went back into his shell.
Here's another part let me expound on one time quickly. This is why I will welcome Rex Ryan. We need an alpha male. We need a talker. You can't have a coach who's like that and then have the only star of the team besides like Julio, Matt Ryan, like that. Matt Ryan and Mike Smith, pretty much the same type of guy. They're not rah, 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 in your face type guys. They can portray some of it, but they are not those type of guys. So you need somebody going to light that fire, who's going to be that bravado, who's going to be that, hey, we're gonna beat the brakes off of you. Not one of them guys like, well, they're a good team and, you know, we're just going to play a good game. Every now and again, you need to step and be like, who? The Saints.
Can't make love every time you got a fuck sometime, huh?
You can't just watch movies and get, you know what I mean? You can't just watch movies and just rub on the booty. You know, sometimes you got to go ahead and make that move. So, I will welcome Rex Ryan for that instant. You know what I really wish they can get?
Ooh.
I wish Coach Bud.
Hey, that Coach Bud is the preeminent superstar in Atlanta right now. He's probably the
Coach Bud, man.
He's the best coach in Atlanta history, and
by far.
And it's minus Bobby Cox. Him and Bobby Cox are fighting for the best coach in Atlanta history title. And it's a shame because this only Coach Bud's second year, so they show you how Atlanta's been doing.
Not just that, but Bobby Cox had, so far, it's three of them going to the Hall of Fame and Chippers up next. And y'all only got one ring, you fuckers.
All right, that's a good way to end. Thank you for listening. This has been DigitalDarren.com. Make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Go Hawks!